Hey there, thoughtful listener. Are you looking for introductions to partners, investors, influencers, and clients? Well, I've had private conversations with over 2,000 leaders, asking them where their best business comes from. I've got a free video you can watch with no opt-in required, where I'll share the exact steps necessary to be 100% inbound in your industry over the next 6 to 8 months with no spam, no ads, and no sales. What I teach has worked for me for over 15 years and has helped me create 8 figures in revenue for my own companies. Just head to upmyinfluence.com and watch my free class on how to create endless high-ticket sales appointments. Also, don't forget, the Thoughtful Entrepreneur is always looking for great guests. Go to upmyinfluence.com and click on podcast. I'd love to have you. With us right now, it's Yemi Olesyan. Yemi, you are the founder and CEO of The Change Hive. You're found on the web at thechangehive.co. I am so grateful that we are talking because retention is obviously something that we have some focus on in that we're about ready to launch a SaaS platform. Right. And I know that is, we're going to get into all that. But Yemi, before we do, you're in London. Tell me what you are currently geeking out on. What are you having fun with? What are you into when you're not working or fulfilling responsibilities?
Sure. Josh, first of all, thank you for having me. It's a delight to be on the podcast. You've been doing this since 2014. It's a mighty long time to have been consistent. So well
yeah,
done.
Yeah. They haven't fired me yet. So I keep showing up. But yeah, 11 years. Crazy. Like,
and that's just like this podcast.
You know, the other podcast is 2007. So
Oh my gosh.
I've been around. But yeah,
you're a double veteran.
Tell me about your personal life.
Sure. So based in London, as you say, recently I came across, I'm late to the game, I came across the TV show Shrinking, and I just really loved it.
I binge watched it
all of last weekend. I didn't know it. Like, it was on Apple TV.
Yeah.
And then that led me to watch, what else did I watch? Trying, the movie Trying, about the couple. So this is a British couple that was trying to have a baby and couldn't, and then went down the adoption route, and seeing all the things they went through was very like eye-opening in a very fun way as well. I've also been very into women's health. So I think watching Trying and watching women's health, it was like, oh my God, this is very exciting. So that's what I'm currently nerding and geeking out on outside of work right now.
Yeah. So this, yeah, you're right. Also on Apple TV, it's called Trying. It's a British comedy with Andy. Okay. Interesting. Yeah. And they're up to like 4 seasons, it looks like.
Yeah. No, it's just really good. So very relatable. And then I saw Stick. Stick is a golfing one. So it's like the Ted Lasso. I've just been on this binge, which is very unlike me because I don't even watch TV. And right. Here I am ripping off like TV shows, like, watch this, watch that. Like,
yeah, look at like this. Blank. How fun.
Yeah, no, that was good. So Stick is
starring Owen Wilson as a professional golfer. Oh, very cool. Yeah, this just launched like a few weeks ago when we're recording this.
Yeah, they've got like 5 trial seasons out, and I really hope they continue because it was really good. It's like, I don't know if you've seen Ted Lasso. Did you see Ted Lasso?
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Fantastic.
It's the Ted Lasso of golf. I really like it. So good. Nice. If you like golf and you love like comedy, I think you'll love this.
All right. Good. Well, Yemi, so tell me about the Change Hive. I'm excited to learn all about it.
Sure. So Josh, my background is financial services. I used to work with the big, large corporates. So like JP Morgan, Barclays, implementing large transformation programs. But my heritage, I come from a long line of like small business owners. So having done like 10, 15 years in corporate, like my heritage was screaming louder and louder, small business. But for the life of me, I could not think how my fancy investment banking skills was relevant to any small business at all. But then, as they say, if you don't know what to do, the next best thing is to get in the atmosphere of people that seem to know what they're doing. And that's kind of what I did, right? So the pandemic happened, and then I started to hang around other small business owners. And then it dawned on me that really what I've been doing for big business was really helping them grow, because my role in big business was transformation. So essentially my job was to look at big, complicated processes see the through line through it, simplify it, cut out all the excess fat. So we have this lean mean machine so that we can reduce cost and also optimize profit. So I didn't realize that in small business land, that was called growth and also potentially go to market. But that's what being around the right people did for me. So I took that to then say, okay, so what can I do with this? And then I then worked, went to go work for smaller fintechs, so financial service tech companies. So going from, I mean, they're still, they're medium-sized companies, so they have been successful, say, in the UK, and they're now looking to expand internationally. And with those companies, I did a lot of go-to-market planning. So it's a, how do we help the regulators understand what you're looking to do in the market? How do we get the buy-in and get the sign-off and stuff? So
let's talk about retention, because obviously that's the big work that you do now.
Yeah, so all this, it started off as growth, so helping them grow, and I was doing growth generally. And then, but if you think about it, there's only really three ways to grow the business, right? You can grow by getting new customers, grow by increasing prices, or grow by selling more to existing clients. And I was kind of doing all three in my initial growth journey, but then it dawned on me that actually the opportunity or the best of the three growth levers, really, if you think about it, is retention. Because what happened was I'd worked on the with a client, and they were getting all these new customers constantly, but the business wasn't growing. It's like, what is happening here? Like, where is it not sticking? And by us tracing through, so really like observing, so it was sort of a SaaS platform, so you can actually see the user behavior, seeing where the users are dropping off. By improving the product, it meant that the customers were staying longer and we're getting the transformations that we promised them. And then we then recorded these transformations and got reviews off the back of it. So told stories of the transformations. And what that meant was it attracted new people into our business. And then we did a better job as well of asking for referrals from our existing customer base, which brought warm leads. And that was my light bulb moment, because it dawned on me that, hold on, with this one lever of retention, if you do it well, you get three things, right? You essentially deepen your existing client relationships because they get better value out of the services that you're offering them, which then means you can sell them other stuff, because now you build the know, like, trust with them. And they're like, oh yeah, what else have you got? Just sell to me, please. They're like open. Secondly, because they're getting value, you can get better quality reviews, which means that when you then have new people coming through the door, they come pre-sold because they've read all these reviews and they're like, hey, they haven't got two heads, right? If it works for them, surely it'll work for me. I am as smart as the next person, so I'll be fine doing this stuff. So you get better reviews. And then third, the customers are happy to tell other people about you, because we tend to hang out in packs anyway. So if I like you or you like me, chances are you probably like other people that I hang out with as well, right? So why don't you get people that already know you to bring warm leads your way? So that's kind of how this retention strategy became the moat, right? Retention is the one piece that really touches all three growth levers, because if you do retention well, you get new customers coming in, you can increase your prices confidently, because guess what, you got the reviews and the credibility to back the higher prices you're charging, and also you're making more money from your existing customer base. And that's why I lead with retention.
Yeah, so let's go through, I understand the importance, let's talk about some important areas that I think all of us, whether we're in services or we've got a product, we have a SaaS platform, where should we be focusing if we want to find our big retention leaks, if we want to keep more people in the boat?
Yeah, no, great question. So we have a 5R model that we take our clients through. We tend to work really with service-based businesses. It will work for product businesses as well, but my lens is very service heavy. So just bear with me if I'm a bit biased in my answers. The first one is around being clear on the roadmap, right? So many service-based businesses, we make the sales, like now there's money in the bank, but buyer's remorse starts to kick in, right? Because now the buyer is down because they've given out cash and you're up, right? So there's this inequity to some degree, right? And if you don't manage that transition, that initial, like, okay, now they've paid me, if you don't manage that initial, those initial couple of days, well, that's when you get all the refunds and then the drop off. So, but you can correct that, or you can stop losing customers from the first initial buy by having a clear roadmap and being good at communicating. It's like, great, thank you so much for buying. So good to have you. Here are things to expect. And oh, by the way, here's your first quick win. Because part of what we show our clients to do is you want to get the time to value for your customers that buy from you. You want to get it within 2 weeks maximum, right? You want to deliver value in the shortest time possible. So they start to feel like, aha, that was a good decision, before people start speaking in their ears about, how come you spent 10 grand on XYZ stuff? Was it really worth it, right? Give them the value. So roadmap and giving the value quickly as possible, first one. Second point of the 5 points that we focus on is the routine. Is helping your clients build a routine around your product, right? You don't want to be the gym that takes people's money and then they don't show up for 3 months and you don't even follow up to say, hey, we haven't seen you. How can we support you? How can we help you? Because you could probably say, well, if it's not broken, don't fix it. I don't want to rock the boat because they're paying me. So why should I remind them they're not using my services? But chances are they will find out eventually that they've been paying and not getting value. So you want to try and make sure they build routine around your service and are regularly using, and it becomes part of the habit, because then it becomes easier to also upsell them other things. The third one being around, and this is probably the easiest for any business owner, because like maybe the first two perhaps takes a bit more thinking. But the third one is really straightforward, right? Asking for reviews. It surprises me how many business owners have been in business for like 10, 20 years, and you Google them and they only have like 2 reviews, right? And the two are like 3 stars. And I'm like, wow. You've been around 20 years. Surely there's more people in the world that find your service valuable, right? Because otherwise you won't be around that long. So it's thinking about, who have I served even just this year? Who can I go and say, hey, we've been working together for XYZ stuff. What value are you getting? Where were you before you started to work with me? What has now changed? What steps did we take? What would you recommend to somebody that was thinking about working with me? Those 4 simple questions. And ideally, they can record it on a video. Even better. I think especially now with all the AI and all the fancy video creation, right? The more user-generated content you can get from your clients speaking about you, the stronger it resonates with people, right?
Yeah. I mean, they're the ones with that, you know, and it's like, I tell my clients, I'm like, you've got fresh eyes. We've been doing this for many, many years. Please let me know when something doesn't feel intuitive. Please let me know when something doesn't surprise and delight, or it doesn't meet your expectations. But I think that beyond just asking those types of questions, I could probably set this up a little bit better. Like, we offer, you know, we have surveys. I think they get 4 surveys through the course of our build out and stuff. And again, we're just trying to dig and find areas for improvement. But I think that there's probably some other tactical things that we could be doing. Yemi, anything come to mind that you like to deploy with your clients?
I try to tie the reviews to the first milestone, because this is why the roadmap is the first R, right? Is if you plot out the roadmap of what your customer would go through when they start to work with you, and when the first aha moment or the first like, yes, value moment is, you want to time your review request with those, right? It's a great, I'm so glad that you finally hit this milestone. That's amazing. How does it feel? Would you mind jumping on a call together? And let's talk through what's working and what's not working. And by the way, can I record it, right? So you can actually do it as a mini feedback review video Zoom session thing, right? So they give you feedback, because sometimes for clients, like, they do want to give the review, but it's like, I don't know what to write. Like, what do I write?
I know. Right.
Yeah. Okay, listen, let's jump on a Zoom call together, 15 minutes max. Like, I just want to see what's working, what's not working, how we can improve it. So you ask them the questions like this and you film it. That's it, right? And you can then, of course, transcribe that video and put it as, and maybe send it back to them to say, hey, here is a text of everything we talked about. Feel free to massage it as much as you want to. Would you mind copying and pasting that text into Google or into LinkedIn? So the same video review, of course, you edit it to create your video feedback. And then also you can take the transcription text and put it as Google or LinkedIn reviews. Does that answer your question, Josh? Have I answered your question?
Yeah. I agree. That blinking cursor, I think, you know, keeps people from what I do. Yemi, is I do. So I asked them, I said, can we record a 15 minute or 10 minute Zoom conversation? And I'd really love to just get your honest results or honest kind of feedback. And certainly if you have a testimonial to give, you know, I'll just be hitting record. And then out of that, so if anyone wants to see how we do it, and Yemi, I mean, I'd love your feedback on this. I don't know that it's the ideal thing to do, but I do get pretty good feedback on, you know, just kind of client stories where I have a that time. I record on Zoom and then I put it on my page. So if anyone wants to see like how we do this, you can just go to upmyinfluence.com, click on, you know, how we, you know, our concierge, high level introductions services. You could watch our videos. All of our clients are like, you know, they're all 6 to 8 figures. You know, we try to get a good cross section of the types of people that we work with, you know, experiences, stories, that sort of thing. Video is important. Are there any other areas that you like to, because obviously you can use that everywhere and social and so forth. But are there other areas that you like to see engagement with your clients and kind of extracting those experiences? I had mentioned surveys as well.
So if this are digital products, are good ways to see their actual behavior on the tool, right? Because you can have a heat map and actually record sessions, right? So using tools like Hotjar or Microsoft Clarity, you can see even on your website, seeing how people behave when they come on your website. What they tend to drop off? Is the button obvious? So you can have session recordings. Another one that we really love and that's really working for us right now, Josh, is roundtables. To my point earlier about AI and automation and all the marketing noise being a lot, it's actually harder to get to build know-like trust online because there's so much. People have been bombarded left, right, center. But if you can get your same potential, the buyers you want to build trust with, getting them round a meeting room table and a round table on a theme, a specific topic, and having them come have a nice dinner and talk about a specific topic and do a deep dive, and you on the round table yourself, not there to pitch, but there as a peer to contribute industry level insights. Because the thing about most professionals is we're very good at what we do in our own business, but not many of us have insights across the industry. So as business owners or service providers, what we bring is that cross-industry insight. And that's what our clients really value about us, right? So inviting your clients or even potential clients to a roundtable, intimate, really, really fast tracks the sales process, right? It also means that you can also get videos recorded because right there and then you can get like highlight reels filmed to kind of say, hey, here's what we're doing and, you know, get them to give you feedback. And of course that goes on your socials. And it's not you saying that you're amazing. It's your clients in real life, you know, filming and telling people what they got from the session with you. And also you can also get them to say, hey, we do this roundtables regularly. Who else do you think would be good to invite along to roundtables? And of course your people like to recommend or refer people, right? So you get referrals off the back of that as well. So roundtables are really like something that's working massively for our clients right now. It's something that we help our clients organize because they're low effort they cost about the same as what you would spend on a LinkedIn campaign, right? But spending that with your ideal buyers, that are senior buyers in the room, so you get 2 hours FaceTime with them is really, really valuable for many of our clients.
So Yemi, how do you work with your clients? Like, what does that look like? And what stage, and also to what is kind of the ideal stage of somebody that you're just an excellent fit?
So mostly founder-led businesses. So the guys we tend to work with are founder-led service-owned businesses between 10 to say 200 employees, profitable but keen to grow. And like I say, we come in and initially we check first of all to make sure that the offer is clear. Because sometimes part of the reasons that growth is stagnating is over time, we've bolted on lots of different features and lots of different things. So it's very, it's not very clear what we're offering. So the message is not resonating as clearly. And also clarify who the ICP is and making sure that the ICP is IPC, as I like to say. So it's an ideal profitable client, because sometimes we're chasing our ideal client profile, but they're not profitable, right? So it's making sure that who we love loves us back in cash, right, is important. So checking those two things first and then seeing, okay, where is the growth bottlenecks is our third step, right? Are you struggling to grow because you're not getting enough new people, or is your pricing kind of off and we can improve pricing, hence my point? Or is it that you're getting the people through the door, but they're not staying long enough to make them profitable? Because of course there's a payback period, right, between when you are still recouping your acquisition costs before they become profitable. So finding where the actual bottleneck is, and then based on that, then working out a strategy for growth tends to be how we map it. But it's all very retention led. And just, I want to quickly go back to what you asked me about the five, how we do retention, right? And I said, I think I said The first three, the first one being around roadmap, routine, and then the reviews. The fourth one is around revenue expansion. Because to my point about pricing, some people businesses that we work with struggle to grow because they haven't thought about the revenue expansion plan, right? So they've sold the first things like, great, first win, amazing. What next can you offer this client, right? So the call to get a review is great for you to get their feedback, but also it's to kind of start to hear what else could be the next challenge that you could proactively say, hey, thank you so much for showing that review. That's really powerful. You mentioned ABCD. I think we might have something that may potentially help you, right? Not in a salesy way, but in a, it's still collaborative, right? It's a, because when you solve one problem, you create another one, right? It's because a solution always creates another problem. So it's a, what's the next problem going to be? And how can we make sure that we are upselling and cross-selling to our customer base, revenue expansion? And the fifth one being around rescue, right? So proactively checking customer health and making sure that people are engaging and you want to catch churn before it happens. It's like if behavior changes, can you catch that? Do you have the tools and the systems in place to do that? So those are the five things that we do for our clients and the five.
And I know you've got some resources, Yemi, on your website, including a quiz, so you could do a retention diagnosis. Yeah, I actually just went through it right now. It's really helpful because it actually stimulated some pretty good ideas. I had my COO take the quiz as well, kind of on her take on where we are. The awareness, I think, is a great first step. And I think, like I said, you've got some resources available. To our friend that's listening right now, where do they go from here?
I recommend they go take the scorecard. That's the entry into our world, right? Is the scorecard is on the changehive.co/scorecard. It takes you to this 5-minute short survey that takes you 20 questions. It tells you where your potential retention gaps might be. And then after that, you have the option to book a call with me. We can jump on the call together and go through your scorecard and see what's come up for you. And then based on that, we can recommend next steps to take. And
All
also follow
right.
me on LinkedIn because I post regularly on retention.
You do. Yeah. You have some pretty high quality posts that you do. And I like that you always have these pretty attractive graphics that you include with theirs as well. Like I'm looking at the one post, the customer growth framework. Saw another one on go to market launch. Most go to market launch advice is overkill.
I think
Very
so.
cool.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, Yemi, like I said again, your website, thechangehive.co, click on the orange button that says "Get your retention diagnosis," so you can kind of see what I've been looking at. Again, Remy, it's been a wonderful conversation. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Josh. Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Thoughtful Entrepreneur Show. If you are a thoughtful business owner or professional who would like to be on this daily program, please visit upmyinfluence.com and click on podcast. We believe that every person has a message that can positively impact the world. We love our community who listens and shares our program every day. Together, we are empowering one another as thoughtful leaders. And as I mentioned at the beginning of this program, if you're looking for introductions to partners, investors, influencers, and clients, I have had private conversations with over 2,000 leaders asking them where their best business comes from. I've got a free video that you can watch right now with no opt-in or email required, where I'm going to share the exact steps necessary to be 100% inbound in your industry over the next 6 to 8 months with no spam, no ads, and no sales. What I teach has worked for me for more than 15 years and has helped me create 8 figures in revenue for my own companies. Just head to upmyinfluence.com and watch my free class on how to create endless high-ticket sales appointments. Make sure to hit subscribe so that tomorrow morning, that's right, 7 days a week, you are going to be inspired and motivated to succeed. I promise to bring positivity and inspiration to you for around 15 minutes every single day. Thanks for listening, and thank you for being a part of the Thoughtful Entrepreneur Movement.